Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich. And we talk Giants baseball with you right here on the NBC Sports Podcast Network every Monday and Thursday. As you know, at this point, Giants Talk is brought to you by Wendy's. Get yourself a $1.99 honey butter chicken biscuit today. And Alex, I think the show is doing really well because every time I go to get a honey butter chicken biscuit, the drive-through line is like down the block. Ooh. So people are listening.
We're healing. We're back to normal.
That's right. That's right. All these Giants Talk listeners are just going out to their local Wendy's just because of us.
Tell them you came because of Giants Talk.
Exactly. I'm sure the drive-through attendant will know exactly what you're talking about. We're coming off a pretty solid little Giants-Marlins series that we're going to start the episode off talking about. Giants are 14-8 right now, 1.5 back from the Dodgers. Although that'll probably change after this Dodgers-Padres game.
Yeah, tonight. I'm watching them right now. They're up. They're going to win,
they're up.
I think.
All right, so let's call that two back. But Giants are looking good. Obviously, no one's really expecting them to be ahead of the Padres, maybe at this point in the season, but I don't know. Alex, are the Giants this good?
They're not 14-8 good. I don't think they're second place good. The pitching has been, I've said this a few times now, has been a lot better than I thought it would be. And I really, really am kind of, sometimes during the season, I get in a point where I look at the schedule and just get bored with the current opponent and just can't wait to see another team. And I feel like I got that way with the Marlins after like Friday night. I was like, I need to see these guys against somebody that's not the Marlins. Like I need to know, you know, I want to see Alex Wood face a good lineup. Like I want to see, I think Gausman is, you know, what he's done is sustainable, but I want to see DeSclafani. I want to see Aaron Sanchez, who his velocity is down around 88, 89, but he's kind of figuring it out. I want to see these guys against a good lineup to have a better idea. So I think that's kind of my takeaway right now at 14-8 is like better than I expected. It's been a lot of Marlins. And I need to see somebody other than the Marlins. I think they've played the Marlins and Rockies for 10 of those games. They have the Rockies coming in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The Rockies have like a 540 OPS away from Coors Field. So it should be another good series coming up. But then after that, San Diego, and then San Diego the weekend after that again. And then we get into May and you start getting the Dodgers. So we'll know a lot more, I think, in, you know, when we do this next week, we'll know a lot more because we'll be coming off a Padres series.
You mentioned how the starting pitching is really standing out. And I wanted to drop a few stats here. They're about the third best ERA in the majors. And other than Webb, their highest ERA are Gausman and Disco tied at 2.14. So they're fantastic. They are that good right now. It's just kind of the bullpen and the offense not being synced up when they don't have that 2.14 game.
Yeah, and the two guys who are ahead right now, Alex Wood, I think, has given up one run in two starts. But again, both those starts were against the Marlins. And I just, you know, I've watched seven Marlins games now. I just don't think they're very good. I don't think the lineup's very good. I think the bullpen's actually okay, and they have some pitching. But I don't think the lineup's very good. So I am very curious. But again, he was so sharp. I mean, you know, no matter who it is, you don't expect a one-hitter. So
it's kind of weird not having played the Dodgers at this point in the year.
Yeah, it's, you know, really,
usually we start out with them, or start out around them.
I'm not a fan of it. They haven't played the Diamondbacks yet either in their division. Like, we're going to get pretty deep into the season. It's just really weird, I think, to face like the Marlins seven times in April. Like, I don't know who looked at the schedule and thought like, hey, this is a great way to start the year. I guess the Giants did, but I don't know. I look around, I see, like, you know, we're watching Dodgers, Padres. We talked about this last week too, how good these series have been. It'd be nice to have a little measuring stick four-game series with the Dodgers right now and see what some of these guys can do. Because there are some guys that I believe in. I think Alex Wood, when healthy, is a really nice starter for him. But I'm watching Sanchez the other night, and I'm like, I need to see what he can do against a better lineup. Because if you're throwing 88, 89 – against some of these better lineups, it's probably a different deal. But again, maybe he can figure it out. So yeah, to your point, it's just been a weird start to the schedule. And, you know, hurry up and get here with the Dodgers series, I guess.
Obviously, one of the big discussion points the past few days has been the bullpen management. Kapler used Rogers and McGee on Friday, and then they weren't available the next day when we really needed them. What's your take on that? I think it's kind of overblown. I mean, obviously, Rogers and McGee did give up two runs that game. It was a four-run game. They were unearned, but nonetheless, you know, they're not locked down, and who's to say they weren't needed for that night?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what Gabe said. Is he was like, look, we had a chance to get a win. We're going to take that opportunity to get a win. My take on it is that over 162 games, there are going to have to be nights where you have to do it without those two guys. And, we saw literally the very next day, they throw Gregory Santos in his second career appearance into a one-to-one game, and they lose that one. So it's a coin flip over the weekend. And then even on Sunday, we saw Jake McGee was not available. 2 days later, and they were very coy about it. And Gabe Kapler said afterwards, he's like, you know, this is about keeping him healthy. Nothing specifically is wrong, but this is about keeping him in good form. So if you're watching a guy that closely, I don't know that, and I'm not a big like save guy. It's so arbitrary, three runs or four runs. I just felt like given who it was, this is like turned into an anti-Marlins podcast, but given that it's the Marlins and that you probably don't expect him to score four runs there, I understand I'm using Rogers. He was warming up. It's actually a good move there once he's warming up to not have him sit back down and, you know, potentially have to get back up if somebody struggles. But I felt like maybe there was a different way through the ninth inning and then maybe you have McGee available the next day. It's not a huge deal. It was interesting, I think, and we're always going to maybe have a bigger microscope with Kapler's bullpen decisions just because of where he came from in Philadelphia and the way it started last year. It was interesting. And again, it's one of those things that I think we've talked about a little bit, like those guys have pitched a lot. And I think at some point, you know, you have to pay for that. So I don't know that they will with Rogers, but I am a little bit worried about how much they've used McGee. And so I would save him for big spots, I think.
And I think this is a conversation we've obviously had before, and we'll probably have another dozen times before this season's over, because there's a lot to talk about with the Giants bullpen right now. And like you said, Kapler does have a history of bullpen management being kind of a spicy situation.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I just think, like, you know, he can say whatever he wants about how much he trusts the bullpen. I don't think he does. I think he trusts two guys in that bullpen because he threw Castro into it. I keep saying Castro. It's Santos. I always think Kervin Castro should be here already. I write his name into stories too. He threw Gregory Santos into a one-to-one game in the ninth inning for his second career big league appearance. So I think there are a lot of guys in that bullpen that they just don't really trust. And, you know, that's not a great environment.
Yeah. Well, outside of the bullpen, the pitching has been spectacular. This Sunday's game, we're recording on Sunday, so earlier today, Logan Webb was absolutely dealing and kind of injected some of that, we're not allowed to swear on this, so let's go with F the DH attitude that I love. How about that triple?
I was not covering this game, like covering at the game or even watching every pitch. But I got home just in time for that, and I got the alert on my phone that said, like, Logan Webb's first career triple, first one since Timmy for a Giants pitcher. And so I turned the game on right away. First of all, your dad had like the greatest call of all time on a triple. It's so good. But I turned the game on and I expect, like, you know, maybe these guys are playing basically behind the infield or something. And that's not a knock on Logan Webb. It's just we don't see pitcher triples. Or maybe he hits one into the corner or rattles around. Like, he crushed that ball. 109 miles per hour. Basically got it to the warning track there in Triples Alley, which is the deepest part of the yard. That was very, very impressive. And I started laughing right away because we asked Logan in spring training if he wanted the universal DH. And he said the main reason he wanted it was his final at-bat of 2019 was a single. And he wanted to end his career with a base hit in his final at-bat. So he was ready to go and end his career on a high note, do the, was it George Costanza, walk out with the, you know, leave him wanting more. But I think he's very happy now that he got to go out there and swing the bat one more time.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw, if, you know, you weren't 100% following, but he took one to dead center to the warning track the next at-bat, and I was sold. I thought that was out.
Yeah, there was a stat I saw, like, he's one of, like, five pitchers in the StatCast era to hit two balls 380 feet in a game, and he's on a list. It's, like, him and Bumgarner and, like, three other guys. So, I did not expect it. I did not expect those swings. But you know what? He has fun with it and he wants to do it. And I think that's a big part of the battle with pitchers. There are guys we see go up there and just have no interest in it. But Logan legitimately wants to have some fun and go out there. I think if you sat down with him, if I saw him in the clubhouse tomorrow, if this was normal times, I would probably go up right up to him and ask him like how much he wants to hit a home run this year. Because I feel like that's probably his goal now is to hit a home run this year.
We do have a Logan Webb audio clip here if we want to roll this about how stoked he was getting out there on the base pass.
It was cool. Now I know why hitters like hitting so much. It's when you hit it, it just feels good. It feels like nothing. And that was fun. That was a lot of fun doing that. I was definitely a little tired after I got to third.
Dish and Sling customers, don't miss a game this season on NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California. Don't miss your A's, your Giants, your Kings, your Sharks, your Warriors. To keep watching your favorite teams, go to howtowatchnbcsports.com.
I love it. I love that.
He was excited. He dropped it was Timmy-ish in many ways. First triple since Timmy, and then dropped a little F-bomb there on third base. Yeah,
that's right. And another exciting first from Sunday's game was Vosler out there getting his first hit.
Yeah, first hit, stole second right away. It was a bloop single to right. So, 20 years from now, it's one of those where it was a double off the wall. You ended up on second right away. But, I like him as a player. I saw a lot of him in spring training. I think he's going to help them this year. I thought it was going to be later in the year, but then they literally, like, every three innings seems like they pull a player who has a muscle strain, which is, I guess that's – you and I are in our 30s. Like, it starts to happen, like, you, especially on cold days. So I guess it's not too much of a surprise, but something to watch this week, I think. They can't go too much longer with having, like, three, four guys every single night who are day-to-day.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to say about that that stolen base. I can't imagine how nervous you are stealing like two pitches after your first ever big league hit. It was a bad throw, so he got in there, but that would take a year off my life, just that stressful of an experience.
Yeah, that's a great point. You don't want to you just got a standing ovation. They threw the ball to the dugout. You don't want to show up like 45 seconds later and be like, sorry.
I went for it.
Got gunned down.
The third first, and I don't know if this actually was a first, but still something I want to talk about as a first, was the first kaiju-sized rabbit at a ballpark. The thing was enormous. Did you see who this rabbit was named after, though?
I hope it wasn't after me, because I...
It was Alex the Great, presumably after Alex Pavlovich the Great.
Big Alex Eats fan. Alex Eats, by the way. Came out on Saturday. Big weekend for Alex's. I'll put that on my Instagram page so people can watch that. My boss, Justin Hathaway, right away was like, so we're talking about the rabbit on the podcast, right? And I'm like, yeah, it'll be in the first 10 minutes. So that was a big deal. Like, that was one of those where you're sitting at home and or you're sitting at the ballpark and watching the game and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then literally all of a sudden, all of Giants Twitter is talking about a rabbit. And, Janie McCauley of the Associated Press runs out of the press box to go interview this rabbit. So that was one of those. They showed it on the scoreboard at Oracle. They did the Simba, like, Lion King thing. It was interesting. What are your thoughts on the rabbit? I have some thoughts, some that I probably shouldn't share on the podcast.
Probably similar to yours. I mean, the rabbit's a little bit of a social media phenom. You can follow him on Instagram at alex.thegreat100 if you're into some rabbit-based content. But I was mostly curious, and I'm not trying to put this rabbit on blast too much, but mostly curious about how they got it in the ballpark. Because, emotional support animals, therapy animals, service animals are all very different things. And it was my understanding that service animals were the only ones allowed in places like that with special access rights. Maybe I'm wrong, but my first thought was like, oh man, they're going to get in trouble for sneaking a rabbit into here.
I legitimately thought they snuck it in. I mean, you're the animal expert. You work with animals every single day. So I will follow your lead on this one. It was actually a great story. The woman, I guess, lost her restaurant during this last year. So good for them. I was a little like, I guess my main thought, and I won't expand on this because I don't want to get in trouble, is just I don't understand how a rabbit helps you get through a baseball game. So that was kind of my thought. But they did it, and it became Instagram famous and Twitter famous.
You know what? That's really what it's all about these days, is getting a little clout.
They had some fun, and it was well-behaved. I'll give it credit. It was very well-behaved. It was just sitting there looking for snacks.
I've never, like, I enjoy going to these bring your pets to the ball game kind of nights. My pets would not enjoy that, though. I have a border collie. He'd be losing his mind sitting still for 3 hours. My cat, super chill cat, but he'd get bored just sitting there. So I don't know. I just can't imagine the rabbit is having a lot of fun there. It's gonna be kind of stressful. I'm a fan of Alex the Rabbit. I don't think I need to see Alex the Rabbit make another appearance on my TV screen at the ballpark.
I have a puppy, thanks to you, little Robert, the mini pincher. Follow him on Instagram, but it's not, I wasn't the one who made it. But he would last about three pitches. So I was impressed this rabbit made it that far. They were there the whole night.
Well, you can't just promote little Bobby's Instagram and not give us the app.
Oh, Robert the Croissant? It's
Robert the Croissant
because he sleeps like, when he sleeps, he looks like a French croissant that you would get at a bakery. So
I absolutely love it.
Good content there. I will not be bringing him to a baseball game because I would cover about 45 seconds of that game and then would be doing the rest from home.
Yeah, fair. Well, speaking of content, you tweeted out some excellent content from the SF Giants prospect account earlier this week. I jotted these down in our rundown, but you want to help me pop through these three particularly standout prospect moments, and maybe we can talk a little bit about if we're going to be seeing any of these faces soon?
Yeah, so I think people, you know, we're going to get into the prospect phase with this organization, and that's where they're headed. I mean, this season's been a ton of fun, but I think a lot of fans still have like that eye on 2022, 2023. I get so many questions about Elliot Ramos, even with this team being six games above 500. But there's an account you guys need to follow. It's at SFG Prospects. It is run by the Giants minor league people. And I know a lot of them listen to this podcast, actually. So shout out to those people for doing this and running it this way. I think it's really cool that they're sending out clips of minor leaguers because it's just, even if we weren't in this position of waiting for these prospects, like, it's just cool to see these guys. And you're always going to have some top guys that fans are waiting for. So they've done a great job of sending out clips, they love to send out exit velocity on guys. So Friday morning, they send out Marco Luciano hits two home runs. One is 112 miles per hour off the bat, which is 3 miles per hour faster than Logan Webb's triple today and faster than anything any Giant has hit this year. The other one's 107. So he would have like two of the top five hardest hit home runs by the Giants this year with those two. But they weren't done. They send out Kyle Harrison, struck out six in two scoreless innings. Looked like he did allow some guys on base, but his fastball's sitting at 95, topping out at 97. And then just for good measure, gave us Elliot Ramos hits a homer 107 miles per hour at the alternate site. So this was like, it was funny because the Giants are like not in a position where they have to lean on that right now, but this was like, if you had to lean on this, this was an all-time day of just throwing red meat to the fan base. People were waiting for these prospects. And Harrison's the one I want to bring up because he struck out five in two innings in his previous outing. And he was, I think, up to 98. So this is a 19-year-old kid from De La Salle, your neck of the woods.
That's right.
Took him in the third round last year, first round talent. They bought him out of a UCLA commitment. And I mean, you're 19 years old, you're throwing 98 miles per hour from the left side. That's ace stuff. So we'll see what happens. He's very young. He hasn't pitched a game that counts yet. He right now looks like he has the stuff to be a future ace, which I cannot say that about a lot of people in the Giants organization.
I'm looking forward to someone clipping this part of the podcast a few years from now as this being your correct prediction about Kyle Harrison, future ace.
He, at the very least, like, this is a guy who I think is going to be rocketing up those prospect lists that we love to look at in the offseason. So it's just like a package. He pitches a little bit like Chris Sale, too, has gotten that comp a little bit. So Yeah, it was we know about Luciano, we know about Ramos, but what they've sent out about Harrison so far and just what I've heard about Harrison from people who are over there, very, very impressive.
Awesome. We needed to get one of the minor league representatives, I think, on the pod one of these upcoming weeks. I think we need to talk a little, do a prospect-centric episode, but maybe once the Giants cool down a bit and we don't have so much fun baseball to talk about.
Yeah, or minor league season starts May 4th, so we'll start getting into it.
But yeah, all right, there's your 4 pounds of meat on the minor leagues. And let's move on a little bit to playoff odds. As we know, we talked about this at the beginning of the season, the Giants were what?
5.7%.
6%? 6%? I was going to say 1%. I remember it being very low.
You put it in our rundown here at 1%, and I was like, you're supposed to be the Giants super fan, and you gave them a 1% chance in your head. We talked about this a while ago. People who have been with us from the start, remember we talked about the playoff odds, but you go 14-8 to start the year. It doesn't matter who you face. You still have to win those games. So give them a lot of credit for that. They've done a very nice job against the Marlins and the Rockies, especially the Rockies. Like, go and take 2 or 3. Go and sweep those series, and that's how you get into the race. So they're up around – Fangraphs has them at 18.4% after Sunday's game.
I went through all of the roughly above 500 teams to see who else was being disrespected like us, because – for being in second place with a fantastic record, 18.4 seems low, but I get why. And around the league, the Royals at 13-7 are about 23%, and the Mariners are getting disrespected hard with 3% odds and roughly the same record as the Giants.
So the Mariners are interesting because they, you know, that first weekend, you go in there as a Giants fan and you're like, well, this is kind of a disappointing series. And then they've actually done pretty well. I think they beat the Astros in a series. They split with the Dodgers, and they just split with somebody else who's pretty talented. So they're hanging around there in the AL West.
I'm you know, if I had to pick an AL West team, it might be the Mariners. I know who it wouldn't be, but it yeah. might be the Mariners.
Wait, who wouldn't it be? The Astros or the A's?
Ooh, it wouldn't be either of them. We'll put it that way.
Okay, you're not one of those split cap guys.
I'm not a split cap guy. I've been trolled and heckled for the last 33 years by A's fans, and I think that bridge has been burnt. It's not the team's fault. It's the fans' fault.
Fair. We'll get to the A's in a minute because I have something I have to confess about them. But I will say, I grew up in the Bay Area. It was a lot easier when you're 17 years old to drive up to the Coliseum on a Wednesday night. I think it was $2 tickets and $1 hot dogs. So I went to a lot of A's games as a kid, but grew up on the other side of the rivalry.
Real quick before we move on to the A's, I do want to note what we're talking about playoff odds, because I thought this was kind of funny. The Giants and the Dodgers have roughly the same odds to be the wild card team, to be a wild card team. So depending on how you want to take that, that could mean that we are just as good as the Dodgers.
Yeah, 2021, you can put a headline on that and just say Giants and Dodgers, same odds to be in the wild card game. The Dodgers have an 81.7% chance to win the division. Giants are 0.3, which is not the worst. So
are you telling me there's a chance?
There's a chance.
Taking another peek around the league, this is something that's all over sports discussion right now, both as something to celebrate and as a point of controversy for Major League Baseball. But our guy, Madison Bumgarner, Mason Saunders, threw himself a no-hitter tonight, or did he?
Well, I think he did. Do you think he did?
I think he definitely did. I don't think Major League Baseball
can call. I was hoping we disagree, but yeah.
Oh, well, I know. I was actually thinking about just lying for the sake of conversation, so I can rewind if you'd like. But if baseball is gonna call these games, they have to treat them like full games.
Yeah, so I wrote a column about this after it happened because I was fired up. It's on our website right now. And my basic point was, like, baseball created this problem. Like, and, you know, they're the ones who did this. Like, Bumgarner's not the one who shortened the game. We know Madison Bumgarner. He would have wanted to go out there for 2 more innings. But they made the rule. It's 7-inning games. So you can't then say, like, everything about this game counts except for one thing, the no-hitter doesn't count. And like in a vacuum, I look at a 7-inning game and I would be like, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not the same as 9. And I've actually covered Bumgarner multiple times where he's taken a perfect game into the 8th inning and lost it in the 8th inning. And, you know, we remember Yusmeiro Petit and Eric Chavez and all that. So we know how hard it is around here to get through those final 2 innings. But if you're not going to let him play the final 2 innings, I just don't understand that. And the other point I'll make is I don't understand how you can be the free runner on second base in the 10th inning. And if you, the guy behind you hits a home run, you count as a run. Like it counts as your stats as a run, even though you didn't do anything to reach second base, but then we're not counting this. So it just feels like inconsistent. And it feels like the most MLB thing possible that they have found a way to ruin what should have been an incredibly fun moment on a Sunday. And instead of everybody talking about Madison Bumgarner throwing a no-hitter, all of Twitter is talking about, did Madison Bumgarner throw a no-hitter?
I think it's frankly embarrassing for the sport. Opportunities like this are chances to have all eyes on the sport. When people turn on their TV to watch some sports content, when people go look at replays on the internet, this is what they would be seeing tonight. But instead, like you said, it's going to be talking heads like us debating whether or not this is real. And I put the question up to my social media followers, and I was surprised at the number of people who said, no, 7 innings deserves an asterisk. No, well, it's not real because, you know, like you said, here's a question for you, though, since you know Madison Bumgarner better than I do. Would he care? Because that's what someone online said to me, like Bumgarner doesn't care about this kind of thing. I see him as the ultimate competitor who would love to have an accolade like this on his trophy case.
I actually don't think he cares too much about, I think he's in the Zach Greinke vein of like, I don't want to have to do the extra interviews from doing it. But I will say that once he got into that game and once he got into the late innings, I'm sure he was thinking about it. And I also think that the competitiveness probably comes out afterwards. And he did have a quote where he was like, 7 innings, like, I don't have control over that. I think the competitive part would be him fighting back and saying, no, I pitched the entire game and didn't give up a hit. So, yeah, it was dumb. The one tweet that I wanted to give a shout out to here was Jared Hernandez, a follower, who said, if the Dodgers can celebrate a 60-game World Series, then Giants fans can celebrate a 7-inning no-hitter for Mad Bum. So I don't really know how you come back from that. That feels like it ends the argument.
Preach, Jared, preach.
He nailed it.
Absolutely nailed it. Up next, speaking of looking around the league, I know you wanted to go through some power rankings, and I'm gonna offer my own rankings, but as someone who primarily has been watching the Giants and not really peeking too much around the league, yours are probably more accurate, unless mine end up being correct, in which case I knew all along.
Yours are going to be more popular. Yeah, we do power rankings on our website every couple of weeks, and it's actually started to come up like in our production meetings for the pregame show, and you know, just because the Giants have been good. But I think as somebody who does these every couple of weeks, you're kind of balancing early in the year what you actually think about teams and what you're seeing on the field. Like you mentioned the Royals earlier, they're 13-7. Do we actually think the Royals are going to win the AL Central? Probably not. But you're balancing all these things, and it gets tricky. But those will be up Monday, so we wanted to talk about them a little bit here. And I'm glad you actually gave your 5 because I feel like it really is like on brand with what we're trying to do here. So you can give your 5 first, your top 5.
Let's
first.
Go down one at a time. Let's start with our number ones each.
Well, we both have the Dodgers number 1 who are threatening to blow this game in the 8th inning. So we'll see.
Bring a smile to my face, Alex.
Yeah, we might have to move them down. No. I think they've been number 1 for me for about 2 years running twice a month. So hard to argue. Yeah.
When I have Giants fan friends complain about the Dodgers winning the World Series last year, I just remind them that it's practically a miracle that that's the first World Series, let alone the second or third, that they've won over the last few years. They've been such powerhouses, and they squeaked out that Mickey Mouse season. We should be thankful that's it. But agreed, Dodgers, number 1 rankings.
If that ends up being it from like this 10-year run they're on, that would be the best thing that's happened to Giants fans in a long time. I had the Padres number 2, and I think for me they were number 2 going into the year, and you and I have both watched these games. Like, they're going head to head with the Dodgers. They are fully willing, and even in this game I have out of the corner of my eye right now, I think it was 7-1, 7-2, something like that, is 7-5 now. So they've gone head to head with them. I also think like a lot of their trouble early on was without Tatis Jr., who has 5 home runs the last 3 nights. So for me, they're still a clear number 2, no matter what the NL West standings say.
All right. Well, I'm going to look elsewhere around the league. The White Sox just took home a sweep of the Rangers. They just had their no hitter the other night. So I put the Chicago White Sox as my number 2. Until I can see the healthy Padres team in action, I don't know that I'm comfortable rating them that high, you know, just based on preseason expectations.
We'll see them next week. The White Sox are a great pick. They're number 1 in the American League in run differential, which is something I always look at as we get deeper in the year. So,
okay. All right, good. What about your number 3? I'll go first. The San Francisco Giants.
I will say, so I do, on our website, I do all 30. And I try to really give updates on former Giants because I feel like that's a fun way to do it if you have to write something about every single team. If you haven't read the one that came out on Monday, there's an update on Hunter Strickland. There's one on Matt Duffy, one on Christian Arroyo. So just a lot of former Giants in there who are still in the big leagues. Maybe you've forgotten about them. But I have the Giants 7 in mind, so they're not going to be in the top 5 here. My number 3 team is the A's, and I mentioned them earlier because I had them 12 at the beginning of the year, and then I moved them down to 20 because they were so bad the first couple weeks. And they responded right in my face by winning 13 straight. So legitimately, and I heard from a lot of A's fans a couple weeks ago on Monday who were like, this is way too low. And they were right. So yeah, it was funny to watch them literally not lose a game in the entire time between when I did those power rankings and when I did the ones that go up on this Monday.
It's crazy because all I could hear about beginning of the season was this historically bad start. Like the A's had never lost, what was it, 4 or 5 games to start the season? And they were just like, can the A's come back from that? And next thing you know, they're already like writing the script for Moneyball 2 in pencil.
Yeah, the thing is they were getting like blown out too. So it's been a very weird season. When we get closer to the A's Giants series, we'll have one of their beat writers, or maybe we get Dallas or somebody on to talk about it. Cause that's just it's been a very strange April.
It has. I will say the other night when they won in extras, they did not deserve that W. Oh my. I texted my A's fan friends right away and was like, that is such bogus nonsense.
Oh, the throw?
Yeah. The base is loaded with no hits and then the overthrow to win.
Yeah, but you're a Giants fan. You can't ever, ever complain about a run being thrown in. So I hope they responded with a picture of Gregor Blanco rounding first.
You know what, Alex? That's enough out of you.
That's a fair point.
All right, who's your number 4?
You have the A's 4. I have the White Sox 4. I think that team's really fun and had high expectations, and nobody's really talking about them because the A's won 13 in a row and the Yankees have been terrible and the Giants have surprised, the Royals have surprised, and the White Sox are just chugging along, going to win that division. I think this early in the year, like if you're a team like that, you don't worry about the Royals. You look at the fact that they've put a lot of ground between them and the Twins, and they should feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, like you said, I do have the A's. I already mentioned the White Sox on my end, so I think we've covered both 4s. But 5 is where you have a team I don't have on my top 5.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the Milwaukee Brewers, and nobody is talking about – I mean, people are talking about, but like in general sports society, Corbin Burnes has 40 strikeouts and 0 walks in 4 starts and has allowed 1 run and legitimately is going to give Jacob deGrom a run for the Cy Young if he keeps pitching like this. So they're really interesting. I have them 5. They're the best team in the NL Central right now. They swept the Padres. A healthier Padres team than the one that we saw a couple weeks ago. And I just think that's a team that has 2 guys at the top with Burnes and Woodruff who are like a complete nightmare. If you're a Giants fan and you want to root for somebody who can beat the Dodgers in the postseason, that might be the best bet actually, because they have 2 aces at the top right now.
All right. And as someone who hasn't been following what's going on over in Milwaukee, despite the fact that half my family lives there, did I see something about Yelich going down?
Possibly. I don't know. Did he?
That's why I didn't include them on mine. I saw something about Yelich's back, but I think they said he's going to be okay. A lot of Giants fans are very high on Yelich. Carmen Q, I know, was very, the Giants need to get this guy or else early on in his career. And that didn't pan out.
I did a quick search. He it would have been nice if they got him instead of chasing Stanton a little bit later. He had an MRI that showed no major issues. Which, you know, the Giants have had 17 MRIs this week. So they have the same issues over there.
Perfect. That's our top five. If you want to read the rest of Alex's top 30, you can check out NBC Sports website. If you want to read the rest of my top 30, just annoy me on the internet till I can come up with it. did you see what was going on in LA between Tatis and your guy, Trevor Bauer?
My guy, Trevor Bauer.
Your guy, Trevor Bauer.
Some guy, Trevor Bauer. So this is part of the reason I'm really bummed that the Giants haven't played the Dodgers yet, because I want like a taste of that experience. And I think it would be really fun to see him at Oracle Park with a good crowd and the Giants fans getting into it. Cause they're trying to build a rivalry there with the Padres, but it is different historically with the Giants and the Dodgers. And I think it would be fun to see. So Tatis Jr. hits two home runs off of him. One time he mimics closing one eye, which of course Trevor did in spring training. The other time he does the Conor McGregor strut as he crosses the plate. And I thought Trevor Bauer, I put him on a rundown here because on Friday night he was actually great. Like he said, you know what? It's hard to hit in the big leagues. I do that to guys. Good for him. Like this is part of the game. And then Saturday morning he retweets a video of Tatis apparently looking in at the sign and says, and then Dave Roberts, who I really like, comes out and says, like, we'll take care of that if that's what he's doing, and implies that they're going to drill him. So I feel like they were all going the right direction for Saturday night after this happened, and then they come back Sunday morning and kind of ruin that vibe a little bit. And then to top it off, Tatis Jr. goes out and hits another home run off of him. So, you know, he hit five home runs in this series. He peaked in once, I guess, and which is not – cool, and maybe we can talk to your dad about that at some point, about that unwritten rule. But to make that a big deal on Sunday morning, I thought was a little childish. And then he appropriately comes back, and Tatis Jr. comes back with a picture of him with Trevor Bauer as his baby. So they've been going at it. I think both you and I are going to look forward to getting a taste of Trevor Bauer versus the Giants. I'll say that.
Yeah. For those of you who are listening on the podcast instead of watching a video, I rolled my eyes through that story so hard I thought they were going to fall out of my head. It's like, you know, it seemed like an easy layup. This is right in Bauer's wheelhouse. He's got his whole shtick that he loves pitchers or batters hitting home runs off of him. And then he turns into a baby on the internet, as always, about it. It's like, come on, dude.
Couldn't help himself.
Can't help himself. And like you said, you can't get into a meme war with a 19-year-old. You know, or however old Tatis is. He's a young dude. And he clapped right back at him with a goofy little Photoshop picture. It's perfect. There's no response to that.
Yeah, no, he ended it.
Yes, it was, over. That's mic drop.
So that's the hilarious thing about Bauer, too. He's so online. And I think we previously talked about the Syndergaard beef on here. I thought Syndergaard buried him, too. So easily. For somebody who's so online, he really loses a lot of these meme wars in these online battles.
Because the trick to winning these kind of things is you have to genuinely not care. Yeah. And Bauer can say he doesn't care, but he cares. Yeah. Dude cares a lot.
He does.
One final topic before we wrap this pod for the day. We're recording this on Sunday. Today is the Oscars. You're likely listening on Monday. This might be the year of the Oscars. I've watched the fewest movies nominated, potentially of all time. Which
I didn't know they were doing the Oscars this year. So
I heard about it this morning.
You have me beat.
I was like, but I wanted to go to, rather than talk about some of the movies nominated this year, because I don't think either of us are qualified to talk about them. We are both fairly big movie fans, and let's talk baseball movies. So let's go down our top three baseball movies, and then we can send these good people on their way. You want to give me your top two and three, because I'm pretty sure they're the same as my top two and three.
So I had Moneyball just kind of as a representative of more realistic baseball movies.
I was going to put The Fan as a representative of more realistic baseball movies.
It was, I weirdly loved, like, you know that Kevin Costner one where he was a Detroit Tiger and he threw the no-hitter or whatever?
Oh, was, yeah.
Like, they did a better job with the baseball scene, so I also appreciated that, but the rest of the movie was terrible. So I don't have it up here, but I had Moneyball for that. And then my number two is Rookie of the Year, because I think, like every other person who is around our age, had daydreams of one day breaking my arm and
showing
up throwing 100 miles per hour, and that happening to me. And I still sometimes think about that. So that really had a big impact on my life, and I'm sad it
and
never
happened. My two and three were those same two, but flipped. I had Moneyball as two. I think it's just all-time great baseball movie. I would even say it's one of those movies that's better than the book. And Rookie of the Year, agreed. I once went to a Giants-Cubs game and saw a dude in a Henry Rowengarner jersey, and I stopped him and took a picture next to his jersey because I was so stoked to see one in the wild.
Yeah, I broke my arm when I was 16 and nothing happened. So it was like,
come on, dude.
I've just always thought about that. Like, I think anybody who's our age and grew up with that movie as part of their childhood has always wondered, like, could this happen to me?
Yeah. There's a really cool, I'm not a big Karate Kid guy, but there's a show on, I believe, Netflix that's like a continuation of the story afterwards, about like what the life is like for these dudes after the Karate Kid. And I always thought a Henry Rowengarner gritty TV show where he's like depressed and on the autograph circuit trying to relive his glory days would be a pretty cool show.
I would watch that. That guy just ended up in American Pie movies. He's for sure like available.
Yeah. And not even in like the top 12 casting in the American Pie movies.
Yeah. He's available. You and I have very different number ones. So I'll let you go first.
You know, strangely, we have very different number ones, but I think they're kind of similar in that they're the two biggest baseball movies, especially baseball comedies. I'll go mine first. The Sandlot. I'm The Sandlot through and through. I absolutely love it, despite the fact that it ends with some random kid replacing Vin Scully with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think that's a weird choice they made, but Sandlot's a classic. Coming of age, I was a little too young to really appreciate your movie. But I think Sandlot's an all-time classic, and it's one I watch at least once a year.
Yeah, I had Major League number one, and I don't remember when I watched it for the first time, but it's on cable, like it's on TBS like every other day. So I've watched it a lot, and just that was one of the first baseball movies I watched, and one that I've probably watched more than anything just because it's on, and checks a lot of boxes, and I think has a lot of memorable scenes and memorable characters. So that's my number one.
I think I saw myself in Smalls as a kid, like the being the kid who sucked at baseball. So I latched onto that one. I always wanted a Benny the Jet Rodriguez in my life.
Yeah, I saw myself closing games with cool music. So it never happened.
You were with the Wild Thing?
Now I have a podcast.
Speaking of podcasts, if you enjoy Giants Talk and you're a Bay Area sports fan, I highly encourage you to listen to our friends over at 49ers Talk and Dubs Talk. They're making great shows over there, and they had Dubs Talk had Steph Curry on, which I wish we could do. Hey, Steph, you want to talk baseball?
Maybe. Klay Thompson probably would. Yeah, those are great. And if you like our podcast, subscribe, download, leave a review. 49ers Talk, it's draft week right now. So those guys are Mayoko and Laura cranking overtime. So we will. They'll have their draft on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday with Dwayne Kuiper. Maybe we can talk to him about getting drafted in baseball, which I think he did like 18 times. So
let's talk that, because I don't know the first thing about the Niners draft.
Okay, that works. We'll see you guys Thursday.
Driven right center field. Nobody's there. Come on, Webb. You got three in you. Let's go. And down the stretch he comes.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.